sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. Luke chapter 13, start the reading at verse 10. This is speaking of Jesus. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and was glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away after water? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And as he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now as we come to you, as we seek your face. Help us to see the ways in which you are looking at us, the ways that you would speak to us. God, help us now as we seek to take every thought captive, to throw off every vain speculation, and to bring our minds and our hearts to obedience, that we would have your mind, that we would know your truth, that we would have your heart, that you would be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to this passage and consider that these are historical characters. These are historical people. These are people who had lived. This scenario in this situation is just as real as you are sitting in this pew. This woman, as we consider her, for these many years, you can think in terms of an evil spirit, a fallen angel, having grabbed her by the neck and doubled her over, and for these many years, walking along with her, keeping her bent over, doubled in half, so that she could not stand upright. We look at Christ, who sees this scenario and has compassion on the woman, seeing her as a saved person, a daughter of Abraham, someone with true faith, and yet she has been afflicted in this way these many years. And in the gentleness, the kindness of his heart, being the good shepherd with affection for this woman, he does this great work for her. But the response of the religious leaders in the synagogue, these people who weren't believers, they weren't believers. They were thieves. They were liars. They were robbers. They were indignant about the good being done in this situation. So we have God himself on the scene, seeing, caring, and healing. We have those, or she, who was very aware of her need and in pain and doubled over and bent over. If you can imagine such a scenario. And we have those, Well, and she is the one who glorifies God, and we have the others who are indignant. Now, where do you fit into this story? Where do you fit into this account? We step in, and some of us can look, and we can say, I do have the heart to glorify him. I rejoice in him. I do see my healing. We can look, and maybe we've even been in a situation to be the hands of Christ, to step into scenarios and to touch those people who are unlovely, those people who are hurt, those people that it's hard to look at and hard to be around. We can also look at our hearts and ask the question, do I have an indignant heart against others, an indignant heart against those who are hurt or oppressed, an indignant heart against those people who are moving in and doing that hard work that I wouldn't want to do? Now, and I'm telling you, there's not just one answer for you. In different scenarios, in different relationships, it's likely that you play all three roles in different scenarios and in different relationships. The challenge for us in our lives is to see, in what way, though, right now, would Christ speak to me? Where would Christ see me here? And to a large degree, you and I will be relying on the Holy Spirit for conviction. To convict us in our hearts, to shine into our hearts. Am I one who is sick? Am I doubled over? Am I oppressed in my sin? Do I need healing? And I'll just go ahead and answer that for you. Yes. Yes. We each are in this place. We each have an oppression. We each have a sickness. Am I a person who has the opportunity to speak healing and to speak life in people, to people, to those who are hurt and sick and oppressed? Yes. Yes. It's a role that each of us are given. Am I a person with pride in my heart? And am I indignant against my closest neighbors and flowing out from there, where I should be rejoicing and glorifying God? Yes. Yes. We each look and we each come to the Scripture, and I'm calling on you to see that reality and to keep coming to Jesus for healing. Because when we're in that place and we see our need for healing constantly in our lives, you will keep running to the Good Shepherd. You will keep spending time with him. You will continue to be healed. For our first step, we look again at verse 10. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present, and he was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. 18 years. Sick. For 18 years. Yesterday I was sitting with a handful of teenagers, and I dropped a heavy question in the table, on the center of the table, just to hear what they would do and to begin having this discussion. And they started chattering about it and going back and forth and exploring it together. And then one of them turned and asked, "What do you think?" And I summarized it in two sentences. And they said, "That was said better and more succinct. I said, I've been thinking about this for a couple of decades. And one of the children said, that's longer than we've been alive. Oh. We look, this scenario here, 18 years longer than some of us have been alive. This oppression has been present. Now, for some of us, as you're putting your finger on your own sickness, on your heart, some of you can say, yeah, I've been messed up that long. I've been sick that long. I've been holding on to my pride that long. I've been holding on to my sin that long. I've had this that long. Now we see how Jesus is looking at this woman, and as he's rebuking the synagogue officials, he says, you hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for these 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? As someone would not leave their animal to starve on the Sabbath day, how much more sure and how much more confident can you be that God would heal you of your corrupt heart on the Sabbath day? Can you believe that he would do that? Can you trust that he would do that? As he has brought all of us here together to sing his word, to speak as the body of Christ, to wash you into truth, as he would pray, Father, sanctify them into truth. Your word is truth. Can you see that you have been brought here, and we all have been brought here for your eternal good? You have been brought here by him for your good. He has organized the circumstances of all of our lives to bring you here. He brought me from under a rock in the backwoods of Ohio and set me in a pulpit here to announce to you in this way, through all the circumstances of my life, to speak to the corruption of your heart for you to be healed. He loves you. He causes all things, even me, to work together for good for those of you who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And his purpose is to lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake and to heal you. Psalm 22, again, to all of my brothers, I will declare the glory of your name. I'll praise you where the people meet. He meets with us here. Our second step is to be healed from ongoing spiritual sickness. Again, verse 11, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When I had a friend that I was confessing my sin to, that he could pray for me, a thing that he had said to me that was so helpful, he asked the question, hasn't it been long enough? Hasn't it been long enough? Haven't you been giving yourself to this sin long enough? Haven't you been marinating in your corruption long enough? I think of Christ asking the man who was laying by the pool, do you want to be made well? Hasn't it been long enough? Do you want to be made well? Do you want your heart healed? Do you want your marriage healed? Do you want your relationship with your parents healed? Your relationship to your children healed? Your relationship to your brother or sister healed? Do you want to be made well? Hasn't it been long enough? We look and we see that there is a long ongoing spiritual sickness. And I'm inviting you to think about sin probably a little bit differently at this moment. Not just a pattern of behavior, but a pattern of wrong thinking and a pattern of wrong loving. Not loving in spirit, not loving in truth. When Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands, that there's a right affection in that. Loving him correctly results in a changed life, that our value and our good is in him. Our value and our good is in him. So we don't have to give ourselves to pride that causes us to act corruptly. We don't have to dig other cisterns that are cracked and hold no water. Because he fills us. He changes us. He heals us. So we're able to love him truly. And we're able to love each other truly. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, tearing up and throwing down and throwing out the wrong speculations and the wrong postures. We can be healed from the ongoing spiritual sickness. Now, this work of Christ as it's taking place, verse 12, this is moving into our third step. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. When I was saved, the situation was so bizarre that I was in this crowd of men and a man's preaching on the omnipresence of God, God being everywhere at the same time. And when he's doing that, the Holy Spirit, and I can speak now from Scripture in a way that I didn't understand in the moment. The Spirit was convicting of sin in that moment. And when I thought, that means he was there when I did this, it was like a weight placed on my back. And when I did this, it was like another weight placed on my back. And it was like cinder blocks being thrown into a giant backpack on me. I was feeling for the first time the burden of my sin. And literally driven to my knees. And there I wept on my knees because I could feel the burden of my sin. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me again from the scriptures that I had heard as a child, not from something the preacher was even saying in a moment, from the scripture I heard as a child, even though he saw all of these things and I was guilty, still he loved me enough to send his son to die for me. And I trusted and believed, and there was a literal, physical release from the burden of my sin. And I was able to rise and stand. What is your burden? What horrible thing, what horrible lie are you holding on to, Christian, that is ruining your life? That is ruining your walk. That is ruining your march. What is holding you back? What is the corruption in your heart that keeps you from following him? He calls you and he is calling you now. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Make sure of His calling you, that you love Him more than your pride, that you love Him more than your sin. We see the reality of His calling in Romans 11:29. The gifts and the calling, think of that as the appointment. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. If you are in Him, this is not being taken away. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you. And 1 Peter, when he talks about you have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, that you may proclaim the excellency of Him. I'm calling you. I am proclaiming the excellency of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Where does His calling take you next? What is it next for you to walk in pathways of righteousness for His namesake? That is the trail. That is the path. That is your question, and that is your next choice. Our fourth step is you are freed from your corruption. 2 Corinthians, well, let's read verse 12 first. Verse 12, when Jesus saw her, He called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." So doubled over in half. In half. I saw a man like this one time. He came in to this area where I was working, and I saw him and I asked, "How are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm stuck looking at the ground." Literally bent over in half. What's your spiritual corruption doing to you? Can you imagine at that moment if Jesus says, "Woman, you are freed. You are healed." And she didn't stand up. What sense would it have made for her to say, "I think I'll just stay like this, thank you." And to shuffle out the door still bent in half. Isn't that what we do with our sin? Isn't that what you're doing with your sin if you will stay in it? We are being renewed in the inner man, the scripture says in John 8:36. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. We hold on to our sin even though we're free. We choose to stay bent in half. Can you see that that's the reality in your life with your sin? Can you see that that is taking place? John 8:32 shows us how we are made free, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. This is Jesus in you, His Holy Spirit in you, that you are set free from corruption. Our fifth step is Jesus heals by His Spirit and the church. Jesus does His work and lays His hands on her. So how would Jesus lay His hands on you? I'm saying you have a corrupt heart right now. I'm saying you are doubled over in half right now. That there is an ongoing spiritual sickness that you have right now. How does Jesus lay His hand on you? Ephesians 4:15-16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects. And we can even take a moment and consider that the standing up from being bent over. We are growing up. We are growing up, no longer being children in our sin. We are growing up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. So I'm a part of it. You're a part of it. We are growing up together when we are working together. We are the body of Christ. If Jesus is going to lay His hands on you to heal you, it might be the church. Our interaction, our work together, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Can you see the work that you need right there in Ephesians 4? That God is supplying the church, that each one of us does our role, that we are built up in love. And we know that love is walking in the truth, walking in Scripture. He also supplies His Holy Spirit. In John 16, 18, it lets us know that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Are you able to keep sinning and not feel convicted? That is a terrifying place, and I promise it'll get worse. If you can continue to violate a commandment that He gives you, if you can keep on in that, another commandment is going to follow. It'll start to be easier and easier and easier to break each of the commandments if you walk in sin, if you are rejecting the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, the work of the Spirit is love. And we could just take that right there and say, there it is. For all the law and the prophets are summarized in this statement, that we love God with our whole being and we love our neighbor as ourselves. If you can't do that, you will continue to fall apart in your joy, continuing in the fruit of the Spirit. You'll fall apart in your joy. You will fall apart in your peace. You will fall apart in your patience. You will fall apart in your kindness. You will fall apart in your goodness. You will fall apart in your faithfulness. You will fall apart in your gentleness. You will fall apart in your self-control. It is the reality when we embrace our corruption. But we see that when we love the Lord and we would seek Him and be humble and transparent, He will heal us, which brings us to our sixth step. Count on being made well. Can He heal you? Can He heal you? Is He willing to heal you? Is He willing to make you well? I think the question will go back on you. Do you want to be made well? Would you rather continue on in your corruption? When Christ spoke so terrifyingly to Jerusalem, and He told them how bad it was going to get, there is no limit to the pressure and the pain He will put on you to make you well. No limit to the pressure and pain He will put on you to make you well, because He loves you that much. Will you be made well? And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. What are the options for you? Continue in corruption and misery with Satan's hand on the back of your neck, bending you over, or to be released and glorify God. We see what He will accomplish. 1 John 3:2, when He appears, that is Christ, we will be like Him. We're given this wonderful statement in Proverbs 4:20 through 22. And hear this now for yourselves, as this is the Word of God. This is what God is saying to you right now. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health for all of their body. Be made well. Be made well. Keep going to Jesus for healing and give him the glory. Pray with me. Father, you set heavy truth on us this morning. Please help us to be fertile soil, that we will receive what you have said, that we will love what you have said. Father, help us not to walk away and just forget what you have said and to continue on in our corruption. But God, we ask you to keep that positive pressure in our lives, that we will be putting off corruption. Father, for those of us who have been struggling for a long time, for years and for decades, Father, help those of us who have been struggling for decades with our pride and with our sin. Father, for those of us who haven't been struggling that long, may they look at us who have been struggling and see us as an example and say, not me. Not me. I will be made well. Father, please give us each hearts to be made well and be glorified. Please heal us through your Spirit. Please heal us through the working of your church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.